tonight I'm going to be talking about on running the good race for God. But what is the good race? And how do we know if we're running it for God or for ourselves? Many of us can relate to the Galatians. We often get a compulsion to do things just to impress God. We think if we can get into his good books, then he will bless us in special ways. But is that how we run the good race? Well, to run the good race, Paul says we need to do three things. Firstly, trust that it's through Jesus we're saved, not the law. Secondly, hold unswervingly to that truth, even when people are trying to convince us otherwise. And thirdly, out of response to this great news, love each other, like Jesus loves. So keep your Bibles open at Galatians 5, and let's have a better look of what it means to run the good race. First of all, Paul wants to stress that the first hurdle in this race is knowing that we're saved by Jesus. Instead of just trusting Jesus and what he's done, the Galatians keep turning to different teachings based on things like circumcision and obedience to the law. Look at verses 2 to 6. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So by trying to run the good race more quickly, the Galatians are getting left behind. In an attempt to obey the whole law and live by works, the Galatians are rejecting God's grace. By trying to do everything, they're actually doing nothing. They want to get circumcised because they think it'll make them more whole. But Paul says to them, you can't pick and choose. If you're going to try and be saved by works, then try and obey the whole law, and then you'll see how far you fall short. I think if we're honest, we do things every week which we think are setting us up well for heaven. I don't think any of us here could honestly say that they are always totally content that Christ has done all the work for them. It might be easier sometimes than others, say when you're totally aware of your sinfulness, but how about those times when you think that you're doing okay, and you kind of look down on people who are struggling with sin, wondering how they could be so weak? The truth is, we are all always struggling with sin. That's why we need Jesus, if we're going to stay on track and finish the good race. Well, these Galatians are torn between trusting Jesus and trusting themselves. In their effort to win God's favour, they're actually pushing him away. By trying to be right with God, they are rejecting his grace. When I was a chef, stuff used to get hectic, and during a busy dinner rush, I'd be getting smashed, and it would take all my concentration not to get flustered. You see, if you get flustered, you're stuffed, because you try and do everything at once instead of just doing one thing at a time. You see, when I was in control, I'd be planning what I was going to do next, and things would just flow. Meals would come in and meals would go out. My point is that sometimes I got caught trying to do too much. I was trying to literally cook 50 things at once, and it got confusing and overwhelming, not only for me, but the staff I was trying to direct. Although at the time I thought that would be the best way, it wasn't. All I was doing was biting off more than I could chew. Excuse the pun. We need to be realistic with what we can achieve. And it's no different when we're running the good race. We need to know that we're saved by Jesus. Paul is telling the Galatians, stop trying to do too much stuff to get ahead in your relationship with God, because it's making you lose the focus on Jesus. You see, you can't add anything to what he has done. He died to bring us forgiveness for our imperfection, not to reward us for our goodness. When I tried to cook everything to get ahead, I was going backwards because I lost focus on my goal. It's like if you're trying to get ahead in a good race by doing all this stuff. It's going to lead to more harm than good, because you're losing the focus on Jesus. I mean, look guys, it's great to live godly lives, and it's a great thing to glorify God through your actions. But by doing that, don't think that you're running the race better than anyone else. Don't think God will reward you for your efforts. His reward is based purely on Jesus' efforts in our place. We don't need to perform for God to get his reward. We're saved by Jesus. And a great thing to do to remind us of what God has done through Jesus is look at his word. Look at what Paul tells the Galatians to do in verse 2. Mark my words. We need to mark Paul's words too. In fact, we need to pay careful attention to the whole Bible. It may be in the morning or the evening, or during morning tea, but it doesn't take much to open God's word once a day and reflect on the splendor of his plan to reconcile us back to him. I encourage you to do that. It will help you to stick to Jesus. Paul says in verse 4, "You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ, so you need to remember. A good race starts with trusting that we're saved by Jesus." So once we know the good news about Jesus, we can't divert from it. We need to run unswervingly. This next part of the chapter lets us know that the Galatians were doing really well, but then a combination of their weakness and bad influence has got them running backwards. Read verses 7 to 12 with me. "You who are running the good race, who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough, and I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves." You can sense Paul's frustration. I mean, he is undergoing extreme persecution to preach Christ to these people, and in response, they're turning to a totally different message. He's saying, "The way you guys are going, you're setting yourself up for disaster. These people need to turn back to the truth, which is running a good race unswervingly, because they're in danger of being corrupted and losing their faith altogether. They need to continue to be narrow-minded when thinking of how they're saved, not through actions and works, but by grace. And it's something they can't afford to forget." Paul stresses the severity on which these agitators should be punished for leading the Galatians astray. He basically wishes they'd go and castrate themselves. It really emphasizes how important good teaching is and how serious it could be for a person leading believers astray. And how good is that analogy of yeast working through the dough? If you've ever made bread, you'll realize how little yeast you need to help your bread rise. It's the same with adding salt to food. Salt totally enhances the flavors of your meal. It's the same with the teaching of God's word. A little bit of bad teaching can work through your whole life or a whole church. It's just like yeast works through the dough. Well, solid teaching can be the backbone to your faith. We need to make sure that we're listening to the true message and accepting in our hearts. We need to stay on track and continue to run the good race with Jesus. It's really easy to get sucked into someone else's way of thinking. I mean, I'm pretty easily influenced. Like if all my workmates are buying new utes and tools, I start thinking how I need a new car and new tools too. I mean, what influences you? Maybe it's drinking too much with uni mates or getting caught up with gossip at the office. It doesn't matter what it is. And these things are all unhelpful. But how much more serious is being led astray from the gospel? These Galatians are stuck in this trap of listening to a different message to the one they have heard. And don't you guys do the same? We need to run unswervingly. Paul's frustrated because he knows that they know the truth, because he was the one who told it to them. They need reminding not to give in to peer pressure. Just because all their mates are getting circumcised doesn't mean they have to get the chop, as tempting as it may sound. But it's out of response to God's mercy they should be doing things, and so should we. It's because of his forgiveness that we should learn to forgive others. It's because of his love for us that we should love others. So let me encourage you to remember, before you read the Bible, before you sit down to small group, before you do anything, remember that it's because of God's grace that we are able to love and serve him. So thank him through prayer. Thank him through meeting up with each other and looking at his word. Thank him by reminding yourselves of what it means to run the good race. And our culture is telling us to turn away from Christ too. Not because it wants us to turn back to the law like the Galatians, but because our culture is wrapped up with greed. I mean, it's more about how much we can gain while we're living on the earth, rather than soaring up riches in heaven. It's very countercultural to tell people that the only way to heaven is through Christ. It goes against a society that believes that if you're a good person and you do your own thing, then that's good enough. And if God does exist, then that should be good enough for him. Let me urge you to struggle and wrestle with that way of thinking. The race that the world is running is not our race. We need to run unswervingly. Sometimes our race may look so long and difficult in comparison to the world's, but the prize we will receive at the end will be worth it. So hold unswervingly to Jesus, for it's his grace that's sufficient, not our lifestyle, because God's standards are higher. We need to remind ourselves to run unswervingly. So we know how to run the good race now, and that it's something we need to stick to. But there is a way we need to conduct ourselves well on this race. We need to love like Jesus loves. Look at verses 13 to 15. We, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Trusting in Jesus is, in some ways, a really easy decision. You're basically saying, okay, God, I know I'm not good enough, so I will accept that you've done it all for me. But just because there's nothing you can do to earn your salvation, it doesn't mean you should do nothing once your salvation is secure. We learn here that there's a manner in which we need to conduct ourselves. While running this good race, as God's people, we need to love each other. This may sound easy, but it's difficult to do. While in these bodies, on this earth, we will continually turn away from love. But we need to build each other up, not knock each other down. And that means loving like Jesus loves. I don't know if you've ever known anyone with an addiction. If you have, you'll know that it kind of consumes them. People often feel so terrible for what they're doing, but just keep turning back to it. And our sinfulness is just like that. It's like we're addicted to it. It's a constant battle. One that will always torment us while we're in this skin. And the Bible says it's like a dog returning to its vomit. One minute we think we've got rid of it, only to return to the stench of it. But I've seen people fight addiction and beat it. they rebuild their lives and learn to live with it. And they may never quite be the same again, but in lots of ways, they're better people for it. This passage is telling us we should fight to love one another. This addiction we have of satisfying the flesh and destroying each other will only lead to ruin. We must stay strong and love each other. The longer we live in hatred and selfishness, the more it will consume us, until we've forgotten what it means to be running a good race at all. And I think it's fair to say that we find it easy to love some people over others. I mean, we all have our cliques and our groups, we all have differences in opinion and personality clashes, and we're all different ages and from different backgrounds. In fact, there are probably a million reasons for us to be critical and divided from each other. But the one reason, Jesus Christ, is strong enough to bring us back together. He's the only way we can begin to start loving each other as we should. Not only when it suits us or when it's easy, not only when it means we're going to get something out of it. I think we're doing okay at loving people at night church, but I think we could be doing even better. It's easy to love your best mate, or the person sitting next to you who's attractive and seems to have good personal hygiene. It's easy to be encouraged by the great singers or inspired by the great preachers. But what about the people who fall short of these ideals? Is it worthwhile loving them? Or is it just a waste of your time? Well, before you answer, consider what Romans 5 says, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And 1 John 3 says, this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So when physical love wears off, or if you don't see the logic in loving another, we should love like Jesus loves. A love that goes against logic or feeling, and a love that sets us apart. We won't always get it, but we should strive for it. And that's how we love the people we don't have heaps in common with. And that's how we love the terrible sinners like me who have no hope. We love them because that's how Jesus loves us. He loves us despite our weakness. Despite our rejection, he's not rejected us. So in response to God's love, friends, let's love each other. So in conclusion, there are always going to be external pressures from our friends and families to turn back to the things in life that are tangible, things that we can see and feel. And that stuff can be comforting. I mean, even when it comes to our relationship with God, we can do stuff that makes us feel closer to him. But running the good race means holding unswervingly to the truth. It's a relationship with Jesus that qualifies us. We need to remember that there's nothing we can do to add to what Jesus has done on the cross. And when people are telling us how dumb we are for running this race that's set out for us, use that as an opportunity to lengthen your stride. Don't stop running. For the truth about Jesus is all the stamina we need to finish. Stand up for your faith, and you may even win people over in the process. And remember, in response, love each other. Jesus has died for sin once and for all, and that's such great news. So let's be grateful for grace and run the good race and keep that for Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your grace, and thank you that you know us so well. You know our every thought and deed. Help us run the good race marked out for us. Allow your Spirit to work through us and in us, refining us to your likeness. Help us be grateful and in awe of what you've done for us, and help us use this freedom we have to serve you as our one true King. Amen.